Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Good Reads program with myself, Zunaida Musa Wadiwala. So already it's Friday again, and it's that time of the week where I get to talk about my favorite topic, books. So I think today, inshallah, you'll be very excited for the book I have on review. But just before we go to that, I'd like to just recap. Last week's book was titled Bustan al-Muhaddithin. It was translated as The Garden of the Hadith Scholars. It was a beautiful book, essentially about the scholars of hadith. They talked about the books that they wrote on hadith, and it gave about a biography on those scholars themselves. So this week we have the book review program, the Goodreads book, and thereafter we go on to the Zoomspiration slot. So without further ado, let me introduce you to this week's book. The title is called 20 Lessons for Muslim Women, and it has been authored or compiled by Maulana Muhammad Ashiq Ilahi Madani and translated into the English language by Zaidi Azhar. The book was published in 2003 in New Delhi, India, by the Idara Ishat e Diniyat Company. And it's a small book, not a very large book. The volume, rather, is small, concise. It consists of just 91 pages. But, you know, every now and then, I come across a book which inspires and reminds me to be a better me. And, of course, that is why I personally love to read, to strengthen and to improve myself in every possible way. And obviously, this is one of those books I came across that managed to do just that, and therefore I'm sharing it with you. Now, the book is made up of 23 chapters, and I know that sounds like a lot. It's really not a lot. It's a very thin book. I said 91 pages. So the 23 chapters actually are very small, like 5 or 6 pages per chapter. So while they might be bite-sized chapters in essence, small and concise, but nevertheless, when you read it, inshallah, you will see that they are huge, and they do leave a huge impact on you. What I actually enjoyed was that each advice, or rather a lesson as the author terms them, is in a separate chapter. And of course the heading of the chapter hints as to what is to follow. So, for example, the first five chapters of the book actually comprise the five pillars of Deen. So the first five chapters are named after the five pillars of Deen. So they're called Kalima Tayyiba, Salah, Zakat, Hajj, and Ramadan. And these are the names of the first five chapters. So it might sound like it's something that we're all familiar with, but if you actually read it, it's a book that clarifies and simplifies for the benefit of its readers. And I think that if I read an extract to you, then you would better grasp what I mean. And perhaps that insight into this book might be something you'd actually enjoyed. So what I've chosen to read on is from chapter 1, the chapter that is titled Kalima Tayyiba. And I'm just going to read a little extract for you. Okay, so it starts, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is a solemn pledge from his servants declaring, O Allah, I am your servant, slave. I shall obey your commands and would refrain from what you have prohibited. Now, it goes on to tell us that there are three aspects of this pledge. Firstly, it should be correctly memorized with its meaning. Secondly, the awareness of its purpose. And thirdly, it should be practiced unconditionally at all times and circumstances. Now, most of the people, or most of Muslims actually, should know its significance and its demand. So that's in essence, the author is telling us there that we need to educate ourselves what does it mean. And then he clarifies further. He says in a subheading called The Demand of Kalima Tayyiba, anyone who truly believes in the meaning of Kalima Tayyiba becomes a pious mu'min. It becomes obligatory for him to refrain himself from evil deeds. Our kind Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has decreed that to recite sincerely, La ilaha illallah, will assist in the performance of lawful acts and will put a stop to all the undesirable and prohibited deeds. A true Muslim will strictly follow the commands of Allah in his daily life. He will abide with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on all occasions, and then the author talks about everyday occasions like marriage, trade, etc. So simply put and reminding us that, you know what, we are a Muslim and this is what we need to, by reading the Kalima Taiba, what does it mean? So all the time reminding ourselves about that. And then the next subheading, the author calls the rewards of Kalima Taiba. And he just says that how beneficial it is to perpetually busy ourselves with the remembrance of the Kalima and by actually reciting the Kalima. The next chapter then is the chapter on Salah, and obviously the chapter stresses on the importance of and the fact that the fard will be the first thing to be accounted for. But it also explains about the great reward for the Nawafil Salah. It describes to the reader the Shukr, Ishraq, Chast, Awabin, and Tahajjud Salah. And like this, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, they do continue in a similar vein. And then chapter 6 is something that was very, very different, something I really liked. It's called Learning and Teachings of Islam. And so obviously it's something that appeals to me in particular, and you'll find out why in a bit. But basically the author tells us here that practicing without knowledge is incomplete, because a Muslim should move in the company of those who know about Islam. The chapter talks a little bit further on the importance of attaining beneficial knowledge and from abstaining from knowledge and learning which would lead one astray from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where I said you'd find out why it particularly appeals to me. And that's because towards the end of chapter 6, the author has compiled a list of 45 published books which he recommends that we as women should study. And alhamdulillah, I was quite pleased that when I came across in that list the Fazail-e-A'mal, which I think that obviously we are all very familiar with. And then in that recommended list as well is the Fazail-e-Hajj, which is obviously relevant right now as we are moving towards the auspicious first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And I would like to just digress from the current book a bit by recommending that, you know what, it is actually an excellent time for you to peruse the Fazail-e-Hajj, because it will benefit you tremendously even if you are not going for Hajj this year. I was personally perusing just the other day about the chapter about entering Medina Sharif and how to prepare before Ziyarat to the Rosa Mubarak, and subhanAllah, what a feeling. I just got goosebumps, you know, just from reading and picturing. So I do recommend you do get hold of a copy of that, or you probably do have that, just to go through it. And then back to our book, which is which is called Lessons for Muslim Women. Chapter 7 gives tips on rearing and educating children. And in chapter 7, there's a brief mention made about a well-known story. And I'd just like to share that with you, though. I always enjoy reading the stories, even to my children. And it says that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayhi, is a well-known religious figure. But when he was a minor, he intended to undertake a journey to seek knowledge, and his mother stitched 40 gold coins, 40 dinars, in the sleeve of his coat for safety. His father was late, and the mother had a great passion for religion. So although she had nothing else, she gave this money to her son. And so she sent her minor son to a distant place for learning. She gave her entire savings, and she didn't keep a thing for anything for herself. And she advised him that, "My son, whatever and whenever you speak, speak the truth." And Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani left his home with this golden advice of his mother as his guideline. And he joined a caravan which is on its way to Baghdad. And the caravan was overpowered by dacoits. And they ransacked the caravan, and one of them snatched away the possessions of Abdul Qadir Jilani. And he asked him, what else did he have? And he replied, honestly, that he had 40 gold coins. And the dacoit looked at him, thinking it's a joke, you know. And he even said, like, how funny. And Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani said that he's not joking, he's speaking the truth. And he was further interrogated, and he kept on sticking to his reply. And then he was thus subsequently taken to the chief. And the chief asked him where these coins are, and he said they're stitched in the sleeve of the coat, of his coat. And the chief remarked that he's such an unusual person, you know, to have disclosed his secret so easily. And to which Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani replied that Muslims have been ordained to speak the truth, and those who lie are not Muslims. And these words really touched the leader so profoundly, the chief so profoundly, he bowed his head down in shame. He returned the booty to all their respective owners. And so it just shows the sincerity and the effectiveness of a mother who advises her child to follow the truth and the advice of mothers, you know, in that regard. So that the book then continues. Chapter 8 is called The Dhikr of Allah. It's a beautiful book, a beautiful chapter. Simple advices are given. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises us to read Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, Subhanal Malik al-Quddus, and to count them on our fingertips, because these fingertips will bear witness for us. And then the rest of the book talks about other important topics. For example, rights and obedience to parents, the rights of husbands, the rights of neighbors, controlling one's speech, etc. But what I feel you would really appreciate is that it's so concise. So without taking too much of time, one gets to understand the message. You know, you'll understand the message. But more importantly, it's something that inspires you and reminds you to practice what you've learned. So I do really recommend that you read this book. And I purchased my copy from the Darun Nashr bookshop, Indonesia. And then we talk about today on the Zoomspiration slot. I would just like to remind you that we are reading from the book 30 Ways to Attain Happiness. The author is Muhammad bin Abdullah Ash-Shai. And today I've chosen to remind you with the chapter called Don't Be Ignited by Petty Things. And the author says that you know, you may magnify a certain small thing, and you make it so big. And this he compares to the hypocrites, and he says that their resolution was so weak. And he talks about how the excuses they made, you know, when Allah Ta'ala talks about in Surah Tawbah, and he says how all the excuses they put forth, and they, this flimsy excuses actually, but which they made look so big, you know, that actually the fact that they were meant to go out, it didn't even that the importance of that was put on the wayside because they made the small things look big. So the author concludes by saying that leave incontentual things, get busy with the important things, and you will find that your fears shall go away, and instead you will be left with joy and delight. So I see that time is already up. Alhamdulillah, it's always a pleasure talking to you about books. Please join me next Friday, same place, same time. Until then, remember me in your du'as, and do take care. Ma'as-salam.